time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. And be proud of yourself. A little excitement is in order for however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio. There are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies, with alternative and complementary therapies all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. The first article, which is a pretty, that's a pretty radical article. The title of the article, Medical Malpractice Kills 500 Times More Americans Than Any Accidental Gun Deaths. And what they're saying is we need doctor control, not gun control. So we've all heard of the statistics about accidental gun deaths in the U.S. Many of them are overblown, of course, but even one death is too many. However, when these statistics are put in perspective by comparing them to other types of accidental deaths, it's even more tragic. Medical malpractice kills 500 times more Americans than accidental gun deaths do. Wouldn't that mean that there should be 500 times more calls for doctor control than gun control? Now, on this show, I've talked years and years about I think that the healthcare industry should be taken away from medical doctors and the pharmaceutical companies, and I think it should be given to the naturopathic industry. I think nutrition and learning how to change one's diet, learning how to use stress reduction techniques, and that those things need to be the foundation of every single type of pathology and disease, not drugs. And when you talk to doctors nowadays, they will usually poo-poo the whole idea of nutrition. I can't believe how many cancer patients I see, and that what we do is enhance their immune system. We enhance the body systems. And yet, most of the time, doctors just poo-poo the whole idea that nutrition has any effect on cancer or any effect on pathology at all. So the shocking data on malpractice deaths is quite solid. It wasn't taken from an 8-year study from the Johns Hopkins University, one of the greatest medical universities around, and who found there are at least 250,000 deaths due to malpractice in America each year. And that's not counting pharmaceutical deaths, that's just counting doctor malpractice deaths. That's bad enough on its own, but CNBC reported that the number is actually on the low end, and as other studies have found, such deaths surpass over 400,000 deaths per year, because physicians, coroners, and funeral directors rarely note human errors on death certificates. And these are what the CDC relies on to post death statistics. Such cases are dramatically underreported. Either way, it's safe to say that a minimum of 250,000 people die from medical malpractice each year. Okay, next article. This one was a really good article, because I use this in my practice quite often. It's an article about serrapeptase. And serrapeptase is an enzyme that comes from silkworms. And think of it. Silkworms, you know, when any worm or caterpillar, what happens, they make a cocoon when they're ready to turn into a butterfly. And how hard does that cocoon get? Have you ever noticed those cocoons get like concrete almost? And so you have to question, how does that silkworm that turned to a butterfly get out of that concrete hard cocoon? Well, it uses an enzyme called serrapeptase. So the next time you're, and it's used to help get rid of pain and dissolve cysts and clots, and it dissolves plaque in the arteries. But mainly, it's one of the strongest anti-inflammatories. So the next time you're suffering from pain and swelling, let's say you got your wisdom tooth extracted, you might want to take some serrapeptase. In a new analysis of existing clinical trials, this silkworm-derived enzyme achieved better results than corticosteroids in terms of relieving pain and swelling. And it was an article from GreenMed's Info, and they stated that serrapeptase is a natural enzyme produced by symbiotic bacteria inside the gut of the silkworm. It is protease, a proteolytic enzyme, that breaks down proteins into simpler units. And silkworms use serrapeptase to free themselves from their cocoon so they can emerge as full-fledged domestic silk moths. And the different types of proteases, which are dissolved proteins, have been studied as natural alternatives to synthetic drugs that have toxic side effects on the human body. Serrapeptase itself is especially interesting because it is more powerful, has a broader pH stability than most other proteolytic enzymes. And the silkworm, and what that is it's a silk moth vomit, okay, because it's the bacteria in their intestinal tract, and they vomit that up, and that's what dissolves the cocoon. So while many enzymes can help relieve swelling and reduce pain, serrapeptase has demonstrated greater effectiveness than most. It is used in the treatment of sports injuries, the management of pain that follows a surgical operation, and treating autoimmune diseases. It's a popular Ayurvedic medicine found to effectively reduce sciatic nerve pain. So for those of you that have low back pain that comes from the sciatic nerve that gets inflamed, that might be something that you want to use. Serrapeptase reduces pain and swelling for dental patients. And serrapeptase accomplishes this anti-inflammatory activity by preventing the creation of cell surface adhesion molecules that summon inflammation causing cells. Those are going to be different types of what's called cytokines to the affected area. Doing so reduces the swelling, which in turn relieves the pain caused by the immune overreaction, or just reaction, sometimes it's not an overreaction. Furthermore, serrapeptase can also inhibit kinins, which are compounds that cause pain. And those are different cytokines. Dentists use serrapeptase to reduce pain and swelling in their patients after the removal of teeth or performing other minor surgical operations. Now, there was a question on how much serrapeptase. Usually the bottles, they're going to be, they're in international units, are again, measured in anti-inflammatory units. And most of the studies were done on 30,000 international units. Then they became available in 60,000, and then in 90,000, and in 120,000. To me, I always think taking the higher dose, because it's such a natural compound, like we sell in our store, the 120,000 unit serrapeptase. So this becomes where you only have to take one or two of those capsules per day. The other thing it does is it actually dissolves plaque out of your arteries. And that's something that is really quite good, especially when you mix it with vitamin D and vitamin K2, because the vitamin D, vitamin K2 combination, and I think at least 5,000 to 10,000 units per day, and maybe up to 1 milligram of MK2, and that really needs to be a combination of MK7 and MK4. That's just chemicals that are part of the K2. And you can get it in 500 or 1 milligram, 1,000 micrograms. And every time, so if when you take a 5,000 unit vitamin D, let's say you take it one twice a day, then you would take one vitamin K2 with that, again, along with your serrapeptase. So the serrapeptase helps to dissolve the plaque that builds up. And then the vitamin K and vitamin D actually tell the minerals to go back to the bones where they belong. So you can use vitamin D, vitamin K2 to actually help reverse osteoporosis. So serrapeptase, again, I would use at least the 90,000 or the 100 or up to the 120. I heard recently that there's a serrapeptase up to 200,000. I'm not sure if there's any studies on those higher doses, so I'll stay with the dose that I'm using, which is about the 500 micrograms or 1,000 micrograms, which is 1 milligram, with each 5,000 unit vitamin D. So that's on the serrapeptase, and you know, it doesn't really matter so much on weight. It matters how much pain and inflammation that you're in. Yet I would think every single supplement has a weight restriction, and most supplements that are on the market today in any health food store are designed around a 150-pound person, 150 to 170-pound person. So you can use that as a general rule on how to do supplements. So if you're only 85, 95, 100 pounds, then you can lower the dose. But serrapeptase, as far as I know, does not have any side effects other than the reduction of pain. So that would be something good. Gout is a condition that comes from the digestion of proteins that a lot of purines, and purines is a protein from that's produced by protein digestion. So that can build up in the circulatory system, and you'll know because in the periphery of your body, your toes or your fingertips, that's where you're going to feel pain mostly with gout. Because gout crystals, when you see them under a microscope, and I have a very powerful microscope. I've been doing live cell dark field analysis since 1983, and I have a very powerful microscope, and you can see all kinds of crystals directly in the blood. And when you look at uric acid crystals, it looks like broken glass that's in the blood. So those things get caught in the small little capillaries, and the little capillaries in your toes and in your feet, that's where blood changes direction. And what happens is that those blood vessels, those little capillaries, are half the diameter of a red blood cell. A red blood cell is about 7 microns large, and a half of that, think of that, they're very pliable. So what happens when they go through these small capillaries, they get squeezed into the shape of a hot dog. And they go through at single file. That's why when we see, look at someone's blood, there's often a condition called rouleau, where the blood is sticky. Now, blood is not round like a ball. It is flat like a life preserver, and it's indented on both sides. It doesn't go all the way through, but there's an indention on both sides. So it's a life preserver. Every single cell in our body is a life preserver, every red blood cell. Now, when they die, they actually puff out into a ball, and they get spikes all over them, and they look like those old mines from World War II. Remember the mines that were in the ocean, and a ship would come close and touch one of the little spikes on those round, big round balls, and it would explode. So that's what happens in the body. these red blood cells, they're called echinocytes or acanthrocytes. They're a different type, and it's a condition of misshapen red blood cells, and the scientific name is called polkleocytosis. You don't need to know those, but these echinocytes and acanthrocytes have these spikes all over them, and when they touch something, they can explode and they lyse. And that's what actually causes the chills and the fevers, because the insides of those cells are somewhat toxic to us. Even though they're self, everything inside a cell is protected by a cell membrane around it. So we don't want all of those little organelles to be released into the bloodstream. That's what can cause an inflammatory response. Now, you'll always see some of those cells, because each white blood cell lives about 120 days, and then they start to die. And the spleen, like a little Pac-Man, as the blood goes through the spleen, or through your body and goes through the spleen, these little Pac-Man cells grab the cells that are dying and bring it into the spleen. The spleen grinds them up like into hamburger meat, and then extracts out of the hamburger meat, or all those the ground up cells, and sends it to the liver. And that's called bilirubin. So when the bilirubin is high, oftentimes it means a high turnover of dead cells, or it's building up in the liver for some reason. Now, they'll also do in a blood test what's called direct and indirect bilirubin. The direct is in the gallbladder, the indirect is in the liver, so we can measure the difference from the total bilirubin. They measure how much is in the gallbladder, how much is in the liver. We like that to be about a 50-50 ratio. So bilirubin is an indication about liver and the turnover of dead cells. So anyway, that's what happens in the red blood cells.
Yes, yeah, yes. Hi, Dr. Ben Joseph.
Hi there.
My name is Ron. I'm calling in regards to a family member I have.
Oh, sure.
They actually had some abdominal pain, mostly on the right side, and got a workup with a traditional medicine, and was found to have H. pylori, and was treated already with a what they call a clarithromycin-based triple therapy.
Right, that's a two-week therapy. That's
it's
a two-week therapy, and they usually give some kind of antacid with it, like a Pepcid or a Prilosec. You do it for 2 weeks, it kills that bacteria, and usually you're fine. Now, that's the bacteria that causes heartburn. Yeah,
she actually had. It didn't actually work, so they're thinking about changing the therapy. And I thought, were there alternatives that she could use, because those 2 weeks were literally very difficult for her to go through.
And
so
that's,
I was wondering if there's other therapies she could.
Yes, there is. And the reason it was difficult, because they forget to prescribe the probiotics. Whenever you take an antibiotic, 1 hour later, you need to take a probiotic. Or you need to take maybe a teaspoon to a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, or the new vinegar made from coconut water, or a little bit of sauerkraut. Or you can take a probiotic pill. I would get a high-dose one, at least 10, 20, 30 billion organisms per capsule. The difference is, though, sauerkraut in 3 forkfuls will give you 10 trillion of those bacteria. So that's going to help if someone does that two-week protocol. When you take the probiotic 1 hour after that, and again, if you take the protocol twice a day, then again, you'll take a probiotic 1 hour after that. That's to replace the good bacteria back into the stomach and the intestines. So it's critical to do that, and most doctors never prescribe that. Now, there is a super spice that is one of the best spices in the world against that H.P. pylori, or H. pylori, it's called. And that is cinnamon, true cinnamon, not the cassia cinnamon. The cassia cinnamon does work to some degree, but most of the research on true cinnamon, which comes from Ceylon, it's called Ceylon cinnamon, It's now called Sri Lanka, used to be called Ceylon. So true cinnamon grows there. And when you start, you can really help with that H. pylori by taking between a quarter and a half a teaspoon of that true cinnamon, and you mix it with one or two teaspoons of either the apple cider vinegar or the coconut water vinegar, and you mix it up real well, and you take that with every meal. And then again, you're taking the probiotics, so that's always putting the good bacteria in. But cinnamon itself, it has an anti-H. pylori effect, and it's actually in a lot of herbal formulas for the gastrointestinal tract. And again, what's so unique about when we use spices, we're enhancing the health of the digestive system. So you can take, as an example, digestive enzymes, and they can usually a multi-spectrum digestive enzyme formula is going to have protease, which digests proteins, amylase, which digests starch, lipase, which digests fats, and then they'll have cellulase or hemicellulase, other kinds of enzymes. And you take one or two of those with each meal, and that'll help digest your food. The same way adding that the vinegar, whether it's the apple cider or the coconut vinegar, that'll help digestion also. But cinnamon, that half a quarter to a half a teaspoon with the vinegar with each meal, say two or three times a day, just depends how many you eat, and that will also often wipe out that H. pylori. Now, what you can do is tell them after about a month, they can do that two-week protocol again and change the antibiotic. A lot of times, some of the antibiotics that they use don't really work as well. They're using, but there is a couple of antibiotics, one called moxicillin and one called doxicillin. And those antibiotics seem to be some of the best. And then they're used with the Pepcid, the antacids, and again, take the probiotic after. That should help their stomach and really stop all that abdominal pain and that gassy, bloated, and oftentimes bowel problems. But they do have to be careful because that bacteria can cause stomach cancer. So one of the symptoms is they're going to have a chronic heartburn. And if they don't have any heartburn, then you probably are okay. And oftentimes they'll give a Prilosec or a Nexium. But if you're not having heartburn, I would say you're not really having issues with the H. pylori. And H. pylori, by the way, is ubiquitous. It means it's on everyone. Most people have it, yet most people do not react to it. So it's only those that are getting that chronic heartburn that then they go get tested. There's an antibody test if you're positive. That's one of the few times I recommend doing the drug two-week program if they don't want to do the herbal program. But you can even do both simultaneously. So I think if they do that, I think they'll be pretty good and feel much better. The cinnamon is a great... The other thing cinnamon does when you take it like that over a long period of time, it'll balance out the circulatory system. And oftentimes when you balance out the circulatory system, it can correct something like high blood pressure or low blood pressure. But again, you're balancing out the circulatory system, so that's what happens. When you do that, the body's natural healing mechanisms decide what to do, whether it's to lower the high blood pressure or to raise lower blood pressure. And oftentimes when you have low blood pressure, we look in naturopathic health care, we look to the thyroid. And oftentimes when the thyroid is very low, the blood pressure will be very low.
Yeah, she actually had belly pain and not heartburn itself.
So belly pain, meaning just... belly pain does not usually mean H. pylori. H. pylori almost universally causes heartburn pain. So if it's a pain that's like a cramping type pain, that's usually something else. That could be from eating a food that they're sensitive to or intolerant to or actually allergic to, and it causes a cramping effect. So that might not be H. pylori. They need to do the antibody test. Okay.
Right. No, they've had the antibody test and the antigen.
And they were positive.
She's had a pretty good workup. CAT scan, EGD, colonoscopy, all the rest of it. And even the gluten, she's not gluten sensitive.
Yes.
So that was the only thing that they found was the H. pylori. And
it was positive. It was
gum as well, and it didn't work.
So it was positive, though, when they did the test.
Yes.
Yeah. And then gluten sensitivity, a lot of people misrepresent that, because with a gluten sensitivity, oftentimes you're going to have a chronic loose bowels. And if you don't have a chronic loose bowels, very rarely does gluten cause the issue. Again, unless you're getting these severe cramping type pains, which is an inflammatory response, but usually the inflammation causes the loose bowels. So... excellent question, by the way. I thank you very much for that. That was a very good question. We don't really talk about cancers and disease. We talk about enhancing. But this was from the Journal of Prostate Cancer and Prosthetic Diseases. And again, it was released on pomegranate extract. And they said that when a malignant mass develops, pomegranate extract seems to be able to interfere with the invasion into local healthy tissue and prevent it from metastasizing to more locations. And that's coming from a medical journal, and I really like to be able to quote some of those, you know, because we can't say things our stuff does. So, again...
absolutely.
And this is, they also said that it lowers what's called C-reactive protein, which is a marker for inflammation. So there's just all this new research coming out about pomegranate extract and how it can help.
Oh, no, fantastic. Yep. Love that. And then I was also reading, and Al did a little class yesterday about the green mandarin, how it contains the highest amount of L-limonenes out of all the citrus oils.
And that's another one for infections.
Skin issues.
Right, or infections or the immune system. That's going to be another. I think they're coming out. I'm so proud of the company because they do the research, and then they go around to find where they can get a good source. But instead of buying from brokers, they go around to individual small farmers because they found out that small farmers get screwed by the brokers. The brokers make all the money. And now what they're doing is buying direct. They're helping to set up the distilleries and really helping these small farmers from now on make a living and paying them a fair wage. When I was watching those, it really brought a tear to my eye how doTERRA does that. I just was so proud to be involved with a company.
Oh, absolutely. And that all the dollars that we help to spend with them are helping to build these other countries and these farmers. I think it's absolutely amazing what they're doing as well. Helping all of these different countries. And a lot of them have had issues in their country.
Right now, they're going to Somalia and Nicaragua and in all kinds of places in Africa and Malaysia and South America, all of the poorest of the poor, Central America, and they're really helping these small farmers that are now can actually make a living. So I'm so pleased that they do that. Yeah, it really is nice.
The same thing with that. You know, anybody can go in and look at the Helping Hands, and then that one's called Co-Impact Sourcing, where they're actually helping the farmers to grow our products. and then, of course, help them distill them and get those products to the company.
And the new one, they had one where they were showing that all this, what is it, pink pepper that is growing.
Yep, pink pepper is brand spanking.
Yeah, brand new, and they were showing how it just grows wild all of these places. And these young women now that are picking it, getting a fair wage, being able to put their kids in school, paying for health care. Again, I was just so impressed with what doTERRA was doing. So, folks, if you're listening out there and you want to be involved, one, it's, of course, essential oils, and they are just powerful, powerful medicinal agents. And you want to be with the top company, the doTERRA. You cannot go wrong with a company called doTERRA. So, I really am really proud to be involved. Boy, yesterday I got my first treatment with biofeedback. And are you familiar, Vince, with biofeedback? And,
absolutely. Are you using Dr. Tenen's?
Well, I've used that, and this was another gentleman that came by to the office, and he brought all his biofeedback equipment, the ones that work on the brain. I've used Dr. Tenen's stuff, but this one, he brought all the brain equipment, and so, you know, he was helping to give my, you know, it's energetics is how it works, and it's almost like the Zyto test, you know, how that works. And so he was doing my kidneys and my muscles and circulation. And boy, last night I felt like, you know, like I'd been run over by a steam truck. And my stomach was bothering me. And I just felt like, you know, poop. And so Sandy brought all
the detoxing.
Exactly. So Sandy brought all these essential oils in, you know, the digestion, and she rubbed it all over my stomach, and lavender, rubbed it on my neck and scalp and my temples and under my lip. And so I kind of like fell asleep for about 10 minutes, you know, almost like a power nap. And I woke up and I felt so much better. And I had to tell her, honey, I want you to know I feel absolutely much better because of the essential oils. So I was really pleased with
that.
It really is when it works.
Love when we can have an effect like that.
Instant effect.
You bet.
So.
And you know, one of the other new oils that just came out is turmeric.
Oh, yes.
And turmeric in an essential oil, you know, it and I'll be honest with you, it does not have the best smell of all the essential oils because it smells just like the root, like on the inside of the root.
Right. A lot of people don't like the smell of turmeric, or that some people don't even like the taste. But that's what you find in curry. When I was in India, everything had curry. But that's also why they have such low amounts of cancer. They found that turmeric, the root and the extract and the curcumin, is one of the strongest known anti-cancers, just like pomegranate extract. So doTERRA doing the research, that's going to be a big seller and brand new. Pure turmeric.
You bet.
And I'm really pleased on that. That's something we're going to add to our repertoire. Just want to finish up on this pomegranate extract because I continued reading the article, and it was a double-blind clinical study, and that was published in Prostate Cancer and Prosthetic Diseases. And then they did another study that was published in Clinical Cancer Research. And again, when I get to quote from these articles, it's not doTERRA, it's not any company that's saying it. It's these actually research companies doing the research for us. And it's really nice because I can talk about what I'm reading in the research. And it's very different because we make no claims on anything. And if the cancer industry makes a claim, that's like totally amazing. And they were talking about pomegranate extract having such a strong action against breast cancer. And so if you want to add a food to your diet that is going to really help your immune system tremendously, that works as an anti-inflammatory, add pomegranate to your diet. Pomegranate here in El Paso grows wild, and I think people should just plant pomegranate trees. In Israel, it grew wild also, and we now know that it was the pomegranate that was Eve picked off the tree. It was not an apple. There were no apples growing in the Middle East. There were pomegranates that were growing in the Middle East. So anyway, it was the pomegranate that is one of the strongest known anti-inflammatories. And one of the comments is about someone's throat closing up when they eat apples, as an example. That's called an anaphylactic shock allergic response, and those can be very dangerous because it can actually close your airways. So oftentimes you need to either have what's called an EpiPen, where you can get a shot of adrenaline immediately, or you're going to have to go to the hospital, because when your throat swells closed, it can actually close off the air passages. And normally you don't want to eat those foods, okay? And there is a blood test to find out specifically about those kinds of allergies. It's called an IgE immunoglobulin blood test, IgE. And that'll tell you those instant foods that can cause, like, your throat to swell closed or you can't breathe. There's another allergy test that actually does delayed food responses. That's like if you eat a food today at lunch and tomorrow morning you wake up with a migraine headache. That would be what's called IgG immunoglobulin response. So both of these tests are available, and you would want to make sure of that. And be careful, because if you do get throat swelling closed, you got to be very careful on that.
Enjoying the show, but I have a question. Is that I've been suffering from hypothyroidism for 25 years, and I've been using the Lugol's
iodine
for a number of years. But I was wondering, is there any application with the CBD oil or Cohiba to help resolve some of that?
Actually, there's a lot of research on Cohiba and the CBD oils, and the problem with it is that coming from the hemp plant, oftentimes if someone has to take a drug test, they might test positive for THC, and that can affect their employment. So one of the things that I'm so pleased is they found a special tree in Brazil that's very high in CBD oils, and but there's no THC at all. So there's no issue about testing positive. Anyway, the Cohiba that's now going to be available in a capsule or as an essential oil. And the essential oil, what I would do is rub it on your neck. Now, the other thing that you could rub on your neck that helps the thyroid is clary sage. And clary sage can really help the thyroid. But oftentimes, when the thyroid is still not working, wait, too much noise. You're going to have to cut that. There's all this noise, Dennis, of it sounds like water or paper rustling. Yeah. So anyway, what can help the thyroid is sometimes you need to take associated food substances like vitamin A and iron and selenium and niacin. These nutrients need to be there for the thyroid to work. So not just iodine, but it actually needs other associated nutrients. The other thing that you can do is use a far infrared sauna. And the sauna will actually help wake up the thyroid. And the reason is there's a condition called hibernation syndrome. You know, there's certain animals that hibernate. Bears, you know, we all know that they hibernate. And what happens when you're hibernating, you want your metabolism to be very slow. You want low uptake of oxygen because you're sleeping for 3 months. So one of the things that start to tell the thyroid to wake up is the temperature change. So when you can get either a far infrared sauna like the tent saunas that you sit in, or a simple pad, a far infrared pad, and you put it on your neck and actually fake or tell your thyroid, hey, it's summer, wake up. And so that, but again, I would take a B complex. I would make sure I'm taking a selenium and maybe a vitamin A. Oftentimes you take that in a fish oil, or some people, as an example, that take the vegetarian source vitamin A's, which are the carotenoids, they can have a problem changing those if they're a vegetarian and converting that to true vitamin A. So that's one of the times I recommend taking the true fish oil. Oftentimes you can get it from flax oil, but again, if the conversion is not happening well, then you don't get that true vitamin A. So vitamin A, niacin, which is vitamin B3, iron, these are all, selenium, these are all needed for the thyroid to work with the iodine. So, and then again, trick the thyroid by using heat and tell them, yep, it's hot out, it's summer, wake up. So that might help quite a bit. Also, yes, there was a comment about omega-7. They're actually finding, of course, there's actually omega 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to omega 9. Now, we've all heard about omega 3, omega 6, and omega 9. But now there's omega 7s, there's omega 5s. And so they're going to find out that in these fatty acids, that there's different omega fatty acids. So we now know, as an example, that proteins all have different amino acids when they're broken down. And there's supposed to be 8. I think there's really about 12 essential amino acids, because 4 of them are produced very, very minor amounts. So I think a good 12 amino acids. Then on fats, any kind of fats have to be broken down to fatty acids. And these fatty acids are in the form of omegas 1 through 9. The other thing that is not talked about often is carbohydrates. We know that you have amino acids with proteins. We know that you have fatty acids with fat. But what people don't understand is there's 8 essential sugars that come from carbohydrates. And by the way, on Prime Longevity, it has all of those 8 essential sugars in a complex. And what those do is they allow cells in the body to communicate. They actually attach to connective tissue and allow one cell in the body to communicate with any other cell in the body. And it's done through these, in essence, sugars. And those sugars are, again, essential sugars that are needed, and there's 8 of them. So with each, whether it's protein, these macromolecules, fats, proteins, or carbohydrates, they're all broken down into fatty acids, amino acids, and sugars, so essential sugars. So I wanted to mention that. Most of everything that we talk about, we do market and sell at Health Naturally.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Pink pepper, it's not the same as regular peppers, and there's a lot of research coming out on pink peppers and how good it is as an anti-inflammatory. And I think it also has what's called the piperine, which can help the intestinal tract. It especially helps the bacteria. It enhances. Now, in black pepper, you get a lot of piperine, and that can actually enhance the bacteria in the intestinal tract. So,
Hi, Dr. Ben Joseph.
Hi there. Good morning to you.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I want to know something about, I don't know if you can help me, but the situation is that a person I know has a wonderful doggie, and she told her gardener not to use weed killer on her yard. She didn't listen to her. The next thing she knew, the doggie was rolling around in it.
Oh, my, and that gets on.
The poor doggie cannot control his bowel movements as a result.
Right, so he's going to have to detox out of that. An animal system, animals can usually detox faster, but the first thing that I would do is make sure I bathe them to get all of that residue off their skin, and that's going to be number one. And oftentimes, you can take, as an example, a lavender essential oil, and you put it on the paws of the feet of the dog, and then they will lick that and get that high-grade essential oil in, and that lavender essential oil can work as an anti-inflammatory agent. And, of course, if they're poisoned internally, then you would use something like an activated charcoal, and you could mix that actually with some raw organic hamburger meat, and you mix a good amount of that raw activated charcoal, maybe 10 capsules, depends how big the dog is, obviously. But and of course, they'll always eat organic raw meat, so you could just mix that. And activated charcoal is one of the strongest known detoxifiers. That's if they eat something internally. And often because they're licking their fur, that's probably what's happening. So that's why the first thing I would do is make sure that they're getting their fur cleaned. And that's pretty important. Get a good bath.
So 10 caps of parsley, 10 caps of the
activated charcoal. Yeah, and you mix it with some, just like a, mix it with a little hamburger meat, something like that, because they'll eat that for sure. And that will really help them. The activated charcoal will go through. Just remember that when you see it in their poop, you're going to see black because it comes out black.
Okay.
And sometimes if they're still having a little diarrhea, what I would add is some diatomaceous earth mixed in with that hamburger and the activated charcoal. And the diatomaceous earth can help also help clean out their intestinal tract of whatever's in there. And if they need some kind of...
Diatomaceous earth.
Depending upon the size of the dog, anywhere from a teaspoon to a couple of tablespoons if it's big. I know farmers that have used it by the tablespoon for their animals with no side effects or ill effects. So diatomaceous earth is great for humans also. So that can really make a difference. Yeah. I think you're welcome. Thank you very much. One of the articles that I want to go to just before we go back to the phones is, how do you tell which plastics, when you get plastic bottles or plastic food containers, which ones are safe to use for food and drinks? Which are the food grade? And there's a good blog that you can go to called Modern Survival Blog. And they have all kinds of articles on that. And what you want to do is you check the container for a recycle symbol, and that's usually at the bottom of the container. And you want to take note of what number is inside that symbol. And once you've acquired it, you can cross-reference it with a list of plastics that are considered food safe. And the ones that are food safe are number one, which stands for PETE, and it's polyethylene terephthalate. And then number two, which is HDPE, high density polyethylene. And number four, which is LDPE, low density polyethylene. And then number five, which is PP, or polypropylene. So those are considered safe food plastics. Now, the unsafe food plastics, when you read on the bottom, is going to be number three, which is PVC, polyvinyl chloride, number six, which is PS, polystyrene, and number seven, which is PC, polycarbonate. So the good ones are 1, 2, 4, and 5, bad ones, 3, 6, and 7. So that's just something to help you so that you could figure out which plastics are good and which plastics are not so good. And again, I post all of these on my website, and they're on there, and you'll be able to, if they've already cycled down in the article, you just type in healthy, you know, how to tell good plastics, and the articles will come up on the search engine. How stress can make you sick, and the different ways that stress actually can make you sick. And the article it was pretty good, and it was put on there by Elaine Castillo, and people can actually put out different articles, and if it's a good article, we allow it to go on the web page. And so this one was a very good article, and the sources from the article was from the Psychology Today and the Healthline website, healthline.1 and healthline.com number 2. So it also came from medicalnewstoday.com. So one of the things that stress does is it causes kind of like severe inflammatory responses. And in this fast-paced world we live in, it's normal to feel sometimes overwhelmed by many things that are happening all at once, and worrying too much about things that are going on in the past or things that might be in the future. And people get stuck in that, so which can lead to the manifestation of different health issues. So although stress is really, it is normal, it was designed for us to fight or flight. I mean, think about 100,000 years ago. You're walking in the forest, you're eating nuts and berries and having a wonderful time, and all of a sudden you come around a trail. Ah, there's a tiger right there. Now, you either book it quickly out of there and get out of the way, or you're lunch. So you're either running or you're lunch, and that's the fight-flight syndrome. And so there's all kinds of things that can occur because of that. One of the first things that can occur is actual stomach issues, because when you're under stress, your body does not need to digest food. You need to run away from that tiger. Now, the problem is today we don't have tigers chasing us, but we get letters from the IRS, or our kids bring a bad grade from the report card, or you're driving down the street and you look in the rearview mirror and there's a cop behind you, and you instantly think, oh, what did I do wrong? And the cop is just driving to the donut shop to get some coffee and donuts, and of course you think you're being followed. So it causes all kinds of stomach issues because the blood leaves your stomach. Another thing that it causes is bowel issues. You'll either have diarrhea or constipation. And when you look at a dog that's afraid, it holds its tail between its legs. And so we know that can cause constipation because you squeeze your butt when you're under stress. Now, when you're overwhelmed by stress, your butt releases and you'll get diarrhea. Now, why is that? People would always ask, well, how come that occurs? And that's because a carnivore will not eat a dead animal. So oftentimes when you're under stress, you'll think you're going to pass out, you'll have the diarrhea, and you think you're going to die or pass out, but you'll pass out. And what happens, that carnivore would come over to you, nudge you by your his nose, its nose, and would not eat you, but would maybe eat the poop, because carnivores can eat the poop of other animals. So I know that sounds weird, but that's what happens. So that's why we end up with bowel problems. Another thing that you can get is chronic pain, because cortisol is released during the stress response. And especially pain in your lumbar back area or in your hands or from your knees down to your feet. And the reason is that when you're under stress and you got to run away from the tiger, all blood leaves your legs from the knees down. And that's so you can run through the forest and there's stickers and thorns and all kinds of things. And you can't run softly and go, ooh, ow, ow, ow. You got to run as fast as you can. So you actually don't feel the pain, but that blood is suppressed. So you end up with pains in your feet, pains in your knees, and knee pains is almost critical. Then the next thing is your back. And the reason is that all blood leaves your back. Because when you're running and you're looking over your shoulder and that tiger's getting closer, it's going to take its paw and scratch right across your back. And again, you don't want to bleed to death, so there's very few pain receptors in your back. And also, you don't want to bleed to death, so very little blood in your back. So this is why people have chronically back pain, bad backs. And then another one is in your hands. And so your hands, arthritis in your hands, because actually from the elbow down, because you're going to turn around and maybe fight the tiger and put your arm up, and that tiger is going to bite your arm. So there's, again, very few pain receptors in your arm, and also there's very little blood that comes from the arm when you cut yourself. So these are natural physiological responses. Then the next thing you're going to get is headaches, because all blood leaves the top of your brain, the forefront of your brain, because you don't need to think about how to fix a problem or build something. So all the blood leaves the front part of your brain, goes to the back part of your brain, the limbic system. So again, you can run away. And so you might get headaches, as an example. And then the other thing is, because the blood is so constricted from your skin, acne is also usually a symptom of chronic stress. And then again, because your immune system is affected and then those cortisols, you can actually get colds and flus much easier. You'll feel chronic fatigue much easier. And, you know, again, changes in your appetite. If you're under stress, you're not going to be hungry. Now, some of the things that you can do to reduce the stress, and the most important thing is breathing exercises or inducing the relaxation response. And by doing that, how you do that is you increase the length of your exhale, learning how to exhale slowly. And then there's other things. You can talk to someone, that helps. Exercise, of course, is very good. Eating a healthy diet, reducing alcohol or caffeine, learning time management skills, you know, and finding your favorite hobbies, which are de-stressors. But the most important is to practice breathing exercises where you're extending the length of the exhale. So that's one of the many ways stress makes you sick and how you can avoid that. By the way, you can look for my book that I've written called Stress Makes You Fat, Wrinkled, and Dead. And we're going to make sure that that's available on Health Naturally.
Welcome to Natural Solutions Radio, featuring Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph, with over 38 years of practical alternative health experience in traditional naturopathy. Call in with your questions to better your health for a happier life. And now we present to you live on the web, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph.
By the way, there was a comment online about telomeres, and telomeres are a little cap on your chromosomes. And one of the things that In designing Prime Longevity, I did the research to what are the nutrients that actually help to increase the length of the telomeres. The shorter the telomeres, the faster you're aging. And so Prime Longevity, the supplement that I designed, those ingredients have actually been shown to increase the length of the telomeres. Now, I have not tested the Prime Longevity directly, so I'm not going to say Prime does that, but all of the individual ingredients, especially things like the pomegranate extract, the cinnamon extract, the turmeric extract, the CQ10, the lipoic acid, the resveratrol, all of those have been studied to increase the length of the telomeres. So Prime Longevity is one of the top on the market. Disturbing study finds that humans are getting progressively dumber. IQ points are now dropping by 7 points with each new generation. This was published in the Journal of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. And researchers from Norway found that the average IQ levels are dropping precipitously, and that with each new generation, people in general are becoming progressively less intelligent. Now, when you watch politics on TV, you can guarantee to know that that is true. Okay, any of the politics on TV, you're looking at stupid people, and sometimes you just can't fix stupid. And so anyway, they evaluated test scores of more than 730,000 men. And they found that IQ levels are dropping by about 7 points per generation. And these findings were also uncovered by a separate study that was done in Great Britain. And they revealed that IQ levels have been dropping between 2.5 and 4.3 points per decade ever since World War II. So we're talking about since World War II, we're anywhere from 20 to 40 points more stupid. And boy, I'm telling you, when you watch some of these shows on TV that they make, and you go, what the heck show is this? Is this a, you know, and that's why we don't hardly watch a lot of TV on these. I like Science Channel, I like the Arts and Entertainment and the History Channel, but I almost never watch too many sitcoms or any of these things. So anyway, 20 to 40 points since World War II. Now, this is in sharp contrast to the state of human intelligence during the first half of the 20th century, when the average IQ scores were rising at a steady rate. So what might be the cause of this sudden change that we're seeing in people becoming dumber? Well, one of the research out of Harvard University, now this is Harvard. This is Harvard University. We're not talking just anybody. This is not the National Enquirer or the Star or the Globe. This is Harvard Medical School. And they said one of the main things and the causes, which are plural, but research that showed the most common reason was fluoride directly linked to lowered IQ. So using fluoride toothpaste actually creates you to be dumber. It also causes apathy and periodically for you to become enraged. So they've looked at this fluoride for many, many years, and they found that drinking fluorinated water has a significant lower IQ levels on children than those who consume clean, non-fluorinated water. Also, when you take a shower, you want to get a shower that actually takes out the fluoride, also that takes out the bromide and chloride, or chlorine and bromine and fluorine out of the water. You need a shower filter, because what happens is the fluoride and the chlorine and the bromine. Bromine is the preservative in all vegetable oils, and it's bromated vegetable oils. Chlorine, of course, is in all our water, and fluorine is in our toothpaste. And what they do is they deplete the iodine out of the system. And we know that iodine helps to control IQ in children. So pregnant women, please make sure you're getting on iodine. I use Lugol solution, or you can get something called Iterol, which is a pill form. And my daughter was on iodine during her pregnancy, and the children, my grandchildren, who are now 13 and 10, have been iodine on a drop of iodine since birth. And they're little geniuses. They're the best, and they've also never been sick one day in their life. Can you name a 13-year-old little girl or a 10-year-old little girl that's never been sick? Well, my grandchildren are that way, and I think it's because of the iodine. So stop using fluorinated toothpaste. Stop drinking fluoridated water. Stop drinking tap water or showering in tap water that has chlorine. And watch all the grains, because all of the grains have bromated vegetable oils. Make sure you're buying organic, GMO-free grain products, and that's going to make a difference. Well, it looks like what? We only have about less than 2 minutes left in the show. So I'm really...
90 seconds.
Yep, they just said 90 seconds in my ear. And by the way, this research was done by Dr. William Hersey, a scientist at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. So this is another one of those studies. Now, the information we talk about, you're not going to get that on any other show. It's not going to get it on TV. You're not going to get it in other radio shows. So please help us out. Call your friends.
60 seconds.
Tell your friends, of course, that... you know, to watch our Facebook page. And let me real quick, I don't even know if I'll get to it all complete, but the opinion and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not endorsed by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or any other social media outlets or the FDA. Most of the therapeutic models, modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.